USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
Colorado State professor disputes global warming is human caused. See, this is reasonable, and this is what the science matches. The Daily Reporter Herald: global warming is happening, but humans are not the cause. You see, I would just change that to radical climate change is happening.
Who owns the tops of the mountains? The sea and dry land belong to God, who made them, who formed them by hand.
I've got to get out of this place.
You worked too hard, you ate too much, the cheesecake made you greedy. Let your aching head and stomach hear this message from Old Speedy. Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Give me the news and make it real quick. Keep it simple, that's the trick. Give me a sound, but I can call my own.
Well, full disclosure, this is a shameless plug here. I've got a new book coming out next week called An Inconvenient Book, Real Solutions to the World's Biggest Problems. And today I'm going to give you a preview of chapter one called Global Warming, Storming and Conforming. I wrote this chapter basically as kryptonite for you to use against your gore-worshipping psycho friends.
Your friends, your coworkers, your newspapers, the TV, everybody's happy to talk, full of misinformation. Morality, science, religion, politics, sports, love, your portfolio, your children, health, Christ, 5 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables a day to live. I don't want to live. I hate goddamn fruits and vegetables. And your omega-3s, and the treadmill, and the cardiogram, and the mammogram, and the pelvic sonogram, and oh my God, the colonoscopy. And with it all, the day still comes when they put you in a box. And it's on to the next generation of idiots. We'll also tell you all about life and define for you what's appropriate.
Give me the news and make it real short. Want the world events in a 2-minute report. Got no time for facts that just slow me down. Already feel like I'm about to drown in an ocean of info I don't want to see. Got way too much input, more than I need. Everywhere I look, every place I go, it's information overload, information overload, information overload.
Do we know each other? Do we like each other? Let me tell you right off, okay? I'm not a likable guy. Charm has never been a priority with me. And just so you know, this is not the feel-good movie of the year. So if you're one of those idiots who needs to feel good, go get yourself a foot massage.
In a period of hundreds of millions of years, with enormous pressure and heat, the Earth formed petroleum from decayed living matter. And in less than 150 years, by many estimates, we have bled the planet of roughly half of its oil. We have extracted roughly 1 trillion barrels of oil since the late 19th century. Most of that oil has been consumed by Western societies, and it has been, arguably, the basis for the enormous power and wealth of Western nations. Now, most of the remaining oil on Earth lies underground in less industrially developed countries. In order to get that oil, and to get it as cheaply as possible, Western companies have devastated environments and caused terrible human suffering. People in Western societies are largely unaware of the harm caused from oil extraction. We are unaware because it goes unreported. Now we are confronted by the prospect of world peak oil. Peak oil is the point in time where the quantity of petroleum extracted from the earth begins to irreversibly decline. As fossil fuels are so deeply intertwined in our existence, particularly our food production, the results could be catastrophic, especially in the face of rapidly rising oil demand. And as oil becomes scarce and prices rise, the environmental destruction and human suffering will likely increase. And the competition for oil will get more aggressive.
Phenomenon known as the resource curse. Paradoxically, finding oil usually increases a country's poverty, as the oil wealth is concentrated in the hands of a few, so the agriculture, education, and health system of the country become neglected and often collapse.
One of the most common questions that people ask is, do you think that the peak oil that you write about is going to produce a global catastrophe? And my answer is, it already has. There are people dying right now as we're speaking. There are people dying right now over oil. There are governments being twisted and changed and seized over oil. The climate is changing because of oil. And there's a small group of very, very wealthy people who are getting richer and richer because of oil.
Life, to put it bluntly, is not sustainable. This quote of George I in Rio de Janeiro at the Earth Summit in 1992 was that the American way of life was not open for negotiation at that summit. And at the same time, he was very prominently sort of speeding around in his speedboat off of Maine, and that sort of epitomizing the American way of life. I think that that does really represent a big challenge in terms of the U.S. relationship to the rest of the world. The very heavy, you know, disproportionate use of resources in the U.S. is very well known and understood throughout the world, and it's one of the things that the U.S. is resented for.
When I hear our leaders tell us that the American way of life is non-negotiable, the first response that comes to my mind is, well, yeah, maybe, but, you know, beyond a certain point, nature doesn't negotiate. We may want to maintain the American way of life indefinitely into the future, but the fact of the matter is, it's just not in the cards. The world does not have the resource base to enable us to maintain this way of life. And ultimately, that's a good thing. I mean, if you could imagine the rest of the world attempting to live as we are indefinitely, the consequence would be the destruction of the biosphere.
We roughly consume twice as much of almost everything as the Europeans do. The Europeans, of course, have a standard of living that is very, very close to ours. So that's a very striking difference. Not only do we use the most in the world, we use 25% of the world's oil and 4.5% of the world's population, but we're actually expanding our use of oil on a year-on-year basis. So the current reality is that the U.S. is profligate, wasting oil, setting a bad example.
the administration is in a trap. They're in a trap because they've made a commitment to preserve the existing energy paradigm in this country, the existing industrial paradigm of big oil, big automobiles, big highways, and all that goes with it. And the only way to preserve that paradigm is to gobble up more and more of the rest of the world's oil. There is no other way to do it. The only way to get out of this is to reduce our dependency on petroleum, period. We have to consume a lot less oil in our day-to-day lives. There is no other way to break out of this trap.
We had an unspoken collective pact to pretend climate change wasn't happening, as though as long as we ignored it hard enough, it wouldn't be true. Not absolutely everyone. A few were shouting fire.
There's plenty of interest in this society that would like to keep anyone from ever finding out anything about this. I mean, the fossil fuel industry spent most of the last 15 years funding every absurd disinformation campaign they could think of, and fairly successfully. But one of the reasons they were so successful was because we didn't really want to know the truth either, you know. It's a good deal easier to lie to people when they're happy to have you lying to them. It's extremely threatening to us because more than any country on Earth, we've taken the logic of cheap fossil fuel and run with it. More than any place else, our lifestyles reflect that dependence on cheap oil and cheap energy. We live in huge houses. We drive huge distances. We're going to feel that pinch if we start to change. We've become highly, highly individualized. That's what it means to live two people, you know, a 4,000 square foot house and a quarter mile from your nearest neighbor on some enormous subdivision.
We have to make believe that the planet isn't being killed. We have to make believe that money equates to happiness. We have to make believe that you can have infinite growth on a finite planet. I mean, we could list out, you know, dozens of these ways. We have to make believe that the age of oil is going to go on forever. We have to make believe that the people who are living in toxic hell because of oil refineries, that they don't exist. We have to make believe that you can kill a planet and live on it too.
In my opinion, our use or misuse of resources the last 100 years or so, I probably rename that age something like the age of ignorance, the age of stupid.
Some say then we're in the sixth great extinction, and this is a human-induced extinction. It's the first time in the history of the planet where one species of organism has become the equivalent of major geological events in determining the evolution of the rest of the life forms on Earth. So there are three big mechanisms. We take over habitats, we knock off the competition, and then we overconsume. And all of these things are accelerating the rates at which human beings are competitively displacing other species from the planet. And someday we may well rue the consequences of this.
We become so numerous and so powerful that we're threatening the existence of all other life forms. We desperately need to evolve a sustainable way of life that's not based on fossil fuels.
But why do you even want to hear about all this? Christ, you got your own problems. I'm sure you're all obsessed with any number of sad little hopes and dreams. Your predictably unsatisfying love lives. Your failed business ventures. Oh, if only I had bought that stock. If only I had purchased that house years ago. If only I had made a move on that woman. If this, if that. You know what? Give me a break with your could-haves and should-haves.